Mass. The introit is composed of those words which the Son of God will speak to his elect at the last judgment when calling them into his kingdom. The Church applies them to the neophytes and thus raises up their thoughts to that eternal happiness, the remembrance of which supported the martyrs in their sufferings. Introit. Come, ye blessed of my Father, possess the kingdom, Alleluia, which hath been prepared for you from the beginning of the world. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the Collect, the Church reminds her children that the feasts of the Holy Liturgy are a means of our coming to the eternal feasts of heaven. It is with this truth and hope before us that we have drawn up our liturgical year. We must, therefore, so celebrate our Easter of time as to deserve to be admitted into the joys of the eternal Easter. Collect. O God, who by the yearly solemnity of the resurrection of our Lord fillest us with joy, mercifully grant that by these temporal festivals which we celebrate, we may at last come to the possession of those joys that are eternal. To this, the Church during this week adds one or other of the following collects. Against the persecutors of the Church. Mercifully hear, we beseech thee, O Lord, the prayers of thy Church, that all oppositions and errors being removed, she may serve thee with a secure liberty. For the Pope. O God, the pastor and ruler of all the faithful, look down in thy mercy on thy servant, whom thou hast appointed pastor over thy Church, and grant, we beseech thee, that both by word and example, he may edify all those that are under his charge, and with the flock entrusted to him, arrive at length at eternal happiness. Epistle. Lesson from the Acts of the Apostles, Chapter 3. In those days Peter, opening his mouth, said, You men of Israel, and you who fear God, give ear. The God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom you indeed delivered up and denied before the face of Pilate, when he judged he should be released. But you denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. But the Author of life you killed, whom God hath raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And now, brethren, I know that you did it through ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Today, again, we have the Prince of the Apostles proclaiming in Jerusalem the resurrection of the man-God. On this occasion, he was accompanied by St. John, and had just worked his first miracle, of curing the lame man, near one of the gates of the temple. The people had crowded round the two apostles, and St. Peter preached to them. It was the second time he had spoken in public. His first sermon brought 3,000 to receive baptism. The one of today, 5,000. Truly did the apostle exercise on these two occasions his office of fisher of men, which our Lord gave him when he first called him to be his disciple. Let us admire the charity wherewith St. Peter bids the Jews acknowledge Jesus as their Messiah. These are the very men who have denied him. And yet the apostle, by partially excusing their crime on the score of ignorance, encourages them to hope for pardon. They clamored for the death of Jesus in the days of his voluntary weakness and humiliation. Let them, now that he is glorified, acknowledge him as their Messiah and King, and their sin shall be forgiven. In a word, let them humble themselves, and they shall be saved. Thus did God call unto himself those who were of a good will and an upright heart. Thus does he also in these our days. There were some in Jerusalem who corresponded to the call, but the far greater number refused to follow it. It is the same now. Let us earnestly beseech our Lord that the nets of his fishermen may be filled, and the paschal banquet be crowded with guests. Gradual. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us be glad and rejoice therein. The right hand of the Lord hath wrought strength. The right hand of the Lord hath exalted me. Alleluia, alleluia. The Lord hath truly risen, and hath appeared to Peter. Sequence. Let Christians offer to the paschal victim the sacrifice of praise. The Lamb hath redeemed the sheep. The innocent Jesus hath reconciled sinners to his Father. Death and life fought against each other, and wondrous was the duel. The King of life was put to death, yet now he lives and reigns. Tell us, O Mary, what sawest thou on the way? I saw the sepulchre of the living Christ. I saw the glory of him that had risen. I saw the angels that were the witnesses. I saw the winding sheet and the cloth. Christ, my hope, hath risen. He shall go before you into Galilee. We know that Christ hath truly risen from the dead. Do thou, O conqueror and king, have mercy upon us. Amen. Alleluia. Gospel. Sequel of the Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 21. At that time, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself after this manner. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas, who is called Didymus, and Nathanael, who was of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter saith to them, I go a-fishing. They say to him, We also come with thee. And they went forth and entered into the ship, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus therefore said to them, Children, have you any meat? They answered him, No. He saith to them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they are not able to draw it, for the multitude of fishes. That disciple, therefore, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, It is the Lord. Simon Peter, when he heard that it was the Lord, girt his coat about him, for he was naked, and cast himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they came to land, they saw hot coals lying, and a fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith to them, Bring hither of the fishes which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up, and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus saith to them, Come and dine. And none of them who were at meat durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus cometh and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish in like manner. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to his disciples, after he was risen from the dead. Jesus has shown himself to all his apostles on the Sunday evening. He repeated his visit to them 8 days after, as we shall see further on. The Gospel for today tells us of a third apparition, wherewith 7 of the 11 were favored. It took place on the shore of Lake Gennesareth, which, on account of its size, was called the Sea of Tiberias. The 7 are delighted beyond measure at seeing their divine master. He treats them with affectionate familiarity and provides them with a repast. John is the first to recognize Jesus. Nor can we be surprised. His purity gives keen perception to the eye of his soul. As it is written, quote, "Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God." End quote. Footnote, St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 8. Peter throws himself from the ship, that he may the more quickly reach his Lord. His natural impetuosity shows itself here as on so many other occasions. But in this impetuosity, we see that he loved Jesus more than his fellow disciples did. But let us attentively consider the other mysteries of our Gospel. The 7 disciples are fishing. It is the Church working out her apostolate. Peter is the master fisherman. It belongs to him to decide when and where the nets are to be thrown. The other 6 apostles unite with him in the work, and Jesus is with them all, looking upon their labor and directing it, for whatever is procured by it is all for him. The fish are the faithful, for as we have already had occasion to remark, the Christian was often called by this name in the early ages. It was the font, it was water, that gave him his Christian life. Yesterday we were considering how the Israelites owed their safety to the waters of the Red Sea, and our Gospel for today speaks of a Passover, a passing from Gennesareth's waters to a banquet prepared by Jesus. There is a mystery, too, in the number of the fishes that are taken. But what it is that is signified by these 153, we shall perhaps never know until the Day of Judgment reveals the secret. They probably denote some divisions or portions of the human race that are to be gradually led, by the apostolate of the Church, to the Gospel of Christ. But, once more, till God's time comes, the book must remain sealed. Having reached the shore, the apostles surround their beloved master, and lo, he has prepared them a repast, bread and a fish lying on hot coals. This fish is not one of those they themselves have caught. They are to partake of it now that they have come from the water. The early Christians thus interpret the mystery. The fish represents Christ, who was made to suffer the cruel torments of the Passion, and whose love of us was the fire that consumed him. And he became the divine food of them that are regenerated by water. We have elsewhere remarked that in the primitive Church, the Greek word for fish, ichthys, was venerated as a sacred symbol, inasmuch as the letters of this word formed the initials of the titles of our Redeemer. Footnote, see our volume of Lent. But Jesus would unite in the same repast both the divine fish, which is himself, and those other fishes, which represent all mankind, and have been drawn out of the water in Peter's net. The Paschal feast has the power to effect, by love, an intimate and substantial union between the food and the guests, between the Lamb of God and the other lambs who are his brethren, between the divine fish and those others that he has associated with himself by the closest ties of fellowship. They, like him, have been offered in sacrifice. They follow him in suffering and in glory. Witness the great deacon Lawrence, around whose tomb the faithful are now assembled. He was made like to his divine master when he was burnt to death on his red-hot gridiron. He is now sharing with him, in an eternal pasch, the glories of Jesus' victory and the joys of his infinite happiness. The offertory is formed from the words of the psalm, which commemorate the manna that heaven gave to the Israelites after they had passed through the Red Sea. But the new manna is as far superior to the old, which nourished only the body, as our baptismal font, which washes away our sins, is grander than the mighty waves which swallowed up Pharaoh and his army. Offertory. The Lord opened the gates of heaven and rained down manna for them to eat. He gave them the bread of heaven. Man hath eaten the bread of angels. Alleluia. In the secret, the Church speaks in glowing terms of the heavenly bread that feeds us and is the victim of our paschal sacrifice. Secret. We offer thee, O Lord, with joy, these paschal sacrifices, wherewith thy Church is wonderfully fed and nourished. To this, the Church during this week adds one or other of the following secrets. Against the persecutors of the Church. Protect us, O Lord, while we assist at thy sacred mysteries, that being employed in acts of religion, we may serve thee both in body and mind. For the Pope. Be appeased, O Lord, with the offering we have made, and cease not to protect thy servant, whom thou hast been pleased to appoint pastor over thy Church. Our Lord says, quote, "This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that if any man eat of it, he may not die." End quote. Footnote, St. John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 50. In the communion anthem, we have the apostle telling us that Christ, rising from the dead, dieth now no more. These two texts tell us the effect produced in our souls by the Holy Eucharist. We eat an immortal food, and it communicates to us its own undying life. Communion. Christ rising from the dead dieth now no more. Alleluia. Death shall no more have dominion over him. Alleluia. Alleluia. In the post-communion, the Church prays for us, that we may receive the effects of the divine food of which we have just partaken. She prays that it may purify us and substitute the new principle, which is in our risen Jesus, for the old one that was in us. Post-communion. Grant, we beseech thee, O Lord, that being cleansed from the old leaven, the reception of thy venerable sacrament may transform us into a new creature. To this, the Church, during this week, adds one or other of the following post-communions. Against the persecutors of the Church. We beseech thee, O Almighty God, not to leave exposed to the dangers of human life those whom thou hast permitted to partake of these divine mysteries. For the Pope. May the participation of this divine sacrament protect us, we beseech thee, O Lord, and always procure safety and defense to thy servant, whom thou hast appointed pastor over thy Church, together with the flock committed to his charge.